discuss some thoughts about tefillah. But as an introduction, I would like to share with you a conversation that I had today with a group of mechanchim with a very difficult population. And they said like this, they said, they understand, talk to people about mitzvahs and it's wonderful and how beneficial and what you accomplish and feeling good about yourself and having a purpose and all these wonderful things, you know, all the thoughts that I must have said there, I don't know. And it's very good. But they said, but you know, their chever tell them like this, yeah, vada, that's very good. We'll do that, but we want to do kol davar also besides that. Of course we'll keep Shabbos, but Mitzvah Shabbos, whoa. Of course we'll keep this, but kosher, but we'll drink kosher booze to our heart's delight, you know, like, and we'll do this, we'll do that, maybe we'll cheat a little bit where we shouldn't, and certain things we will, violate in this, but we believe, oh, it's so wonderful, this Yiddish guy's a wonderful thing. What do you tell such people? They believe it, and they want to do it. What? Who? What?
Where would they ask you?
One of the programs over here that deals with kids.
Kids, yeah. Like,
kids, teenagers that are off. Yeah. You know, so anyway. What?
Not Bali Tshuva, as we're at.
No. Bali Tshuva is easy. this is the hard population. Anyway, so what are we going to do? You know, there we want to do. What should we say to them? So I mentioned one thing which I think is critical, and I think that's really the foundation of Yahadus, the tachlis, or one of the many direct effects, benefits, and purposes of tefillah, and something which can really make a major difference. I told him like this, you know, what's the, if I asked you a question, tell me the whole Torah al regel achas. Teach me all of Yiddishkeit al regel achas. What would you say?
Oh,
he's a man with bekiyas, you know. Did say the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed tells us exactly what we should know. Goy comes to Hillel and he asks him. He says, "Teach me the whole Torah while I stand on one foot." So he says to him, "Mada lochsani lechaber chloi savim ze kol haTorah kulo v'idach birusha zil Gemara." That which to you is hateful, don't do to your friend. This is the whole Torah. The rest is explanation. I'll go and study. And Rashi in the first pshat over there has two pshatim. Rashi in the first pshat says that chavercho lechavrach loisavid reyacho vreyovicho al tazvif. The chover that we're talking about is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's your friend and the friend of your father. Don't forsake him. And you know what it is to have a relationship? Don't spoil. Don't cheat. Don't compromise. Don't. That's a better word. But anyway, don't mess up that relationship. Don't do to your friend, your ultimate friend, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, anything that would mar that relationship. That says that Hillel told the Goy. That's the essence, according to this one pshat in Rashi, that's the essence of Kol HaTorah Kula, is Madaloch HaVech Sabach. Recognize that you have this friendship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this, forgive me, a word that's not too often used, relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and don't mess up that relationship. Don't do anything to compromise that relationship. And that's basically what Kol HaTorah Kula is all about. Now, therefore, I think that the only way to prevent this religious schizophrenia where, yes, I buy into Yiddishkeit, it's beautiful and it's nice and it's beneficial and it's good, it's going to make me happy, but there are other pleasures in life that I also want to indulge in and I don't see the contradiction. In the context of relationship, the contradiction is much easier to see. Because if I have a relationship with Hashem and is my good friend, that I know how good he is to me, and I know how much he cares for me, and I reciprocate in that relationship, then to want to do something which to him is so painful, is so insulting, is so detrimental to us, not to him, you know, he's fine without us, but so detrimental to us and so much against the purpose for which he put us in this world and what his relationship with us is all about, I have to, at least I have to make the effort to stay away from anything that could breach that relationship. So the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a critical a piece of keeping us in line, because I really don't want to hurt, to mar that relationship, which is so good, which is so real, which is so loving, which is so caring, which is so beneficial. So that's a piece, I think, that's very significant. And there's no question that tefillah is a major component of strengthening, establishing and strengthening that relationship. Now, tefillah has a problem, and I think we have to address the problem head on. The problem with tefillah that many people find is that it's a one-way relationship. I talk to him, and if I hear him talking back to me, they take me to the psych ward. So, like, what kind of a relationship could I have with him? Like, you know, I talk to him, and he doesn't talk back. And it bothers many people. Now, the truth of the matter is that he does. But we have to understand his language. Number one, he speaks in actions, not in words. He does things for us. The Hashgacha Protis that we have at every juncture of our life is HaKadosh Baruch Hu responding to our tefillahs. Because our tefillahs are part of a system that enables us to earn things that otherwise we would not have deserved. And in tefillah there's a schus of earning, and there's also a bakoshes rachamim, which is, I call rachamim like an entitlement. Like, I suffered, I'm in pain, so mamela, I'm entitled to something for that pain, even though I may not have earned it in the world of schus. If you want to know what that concept means, any people who know any of the old-time Holocaust survivors that made it big in business, and they have this sense of, and rightly so, entitlement. It's avada, I have to make a lot of money. They say, I earned it the hard way. I suffered so many years. So there is such a thing as rachmonis for a pain being an entitlement that, even though I didn't technically on the books, it's like off the books, forgive me, I didn't earn it technically, but because of what I suffered. So tefillah does both of that. It invokes rachamim. Because tefillah, one of the preparations for tefillah is to feel one's pain. Part of the tefillah is, we see from Chazal, the Gemara says, you should be mispal for a Talmud Chochem ad sheyechle. Ad sheyechle means until you get sick. It does not mean until you get sick of davening. I don't think that's the pshat. How do you think? No, it doesn't sound right. It means you get sick from davening. What's the difference? I so internalize the pain of the needy one that it makes me sick. I've so internalized your pain that it's like I'm sick. I feel it. You know, like Rabbi Ari Levine said, my wife's foot hurts us today. You know, I internalize the pain to that extent. So that's part of what tefillah does. So you feel the pain more because, you know, when we have a need, we tend to try to push it out of our minds. I have a problem. I don't have any problem. No, so I don't feel well. Let's move on with the show. But when you stop to think about it and you feel the pain, so Hashem says, oh, look, you're suffering. Sometimes with suffering, we can earn even beyond what we could get with schus. And if you want to know the beferish mocker for this, that's a Tosfos Rid in the Haggadah. There's a Haggadah for the Tosfos Rid, the Rishon. There's a Haggadah. And in the Haggadah, he says, on B'tchilo Yivdei Avodah Zorah, he says that the Esekashi, he says, we thank Hashem for taking us out of Mitzrayim. He put us in there. If he wouldn't put us in, he wouldn't have to take us out. So what's the big deal? So he says, we stem from Terach, Yivdei Avodah Zorah. And because of that, we have no way in the world that in Din we could ever be Zeichet to Kabbalah HaTorah. It's beyond what we could be Zeichet to. Can't be. It's impossible. No, there cannot be enough schus in us after having the genes of Terach in us, in his Avodah Zorah, to be Zeichet. So Hashem put us in Mitzrayim. And he made us suffer. And he was able to be Chas Aleinu. And he was able to give us the Torah with rachamim, so to speak. I touched that up with an entitlement. You suffered. We suffered so much. Even though we don't deserve it, we now earned it through this entitlement program. So that's one thing. So tefillah has that ability to help us to get things that way. Tefillah also is a schus, because every time I turn to Hashem, and every time I ask to Hashem, and every mitzvah, of course, it's a mitzvah of tefillah too, and every time I connect to Hashem, and every time I inspire myself in deeper bitochen in Hashem, I've enhanced my schus to be able to attain what I want. So I have done things, I have done something that really helps in getting, and we find Chazal, this concept, tefillah always helps. Tefillah is a machzah. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Shemea tefillah. Tefillah always accomplishes something. Doesn't necessarily accomplish it exactly the way we anticipated it. And that's a very important point to focus on for a moment. Number one, I would like to suggest, tefillah is avodah shebelev. It's really done in the heart. Al pidin, you know, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, when it talks about being mevate b'sfasayim, the words of tefillah, he does not bring the shaila of hirur kedibur domi or not. He brings it by birchas kriyashma, he brings it by birchas hamozen, he brings it by brochas, and not by tefillah. Because by tefillah, it's not really a din in dibur. It's really avodah shebelev. There's a din, there's a dibur, you have to say it, at least whisper it, or mechatech, the mechabes loshen is, the acharinim say even a little bit, so you should hear just a drop, but in order to focus. But the tefillah itself is avodah shebelev. Hashem answers our heart's desires, not necessarily our formal requests. Because sometimes our formal requests are only in sync with our heart's desires, because we foolishly think that our formal request is going to grant our heart's desire. For example, I got this big business deal going. I said, Hashem, please help me with this deal. It's the biggest deal. You got to help me. I need help. Please make it work, make it work, make it work. Now, I think this deal is going to yield me, you know, endless money. Hashem knows it's going to send me in bankruptcy. So he's listening to my heart's desire. Nobody wants deals. Everybody wants money. All right. So, Mimela, I'm answering you. You may not realize how I'm answering you, but I'm answering your heart's desire. It's avodah shebelev. That's one. Sometimes there's another thing. Hashem deals with us with hashkocha protis, and we don't realize how, if I asked for something, and for some reason, that particular thing that I asked for is not the appropriate thing for me, or it's not the appropriate time for me, or it's not the appropriate dynamic for me, it's not going to work the right way at this time. Hashem never lets the tefillah get wasted. So he applies it someplace else. And the hashkocha protis that we see in our lives, which we don't connect to the tefillah, is very often the result of the fact that we turn to Hashem and we ask for his help. So I gave you help in many ways, or I give you help, or I'm continuing to give you help in many ways that are a little bit different from what you've been asking. But in reality, it's the merit of your tefillah. So a tefillah is never wasted. A tefillah is never wasted. There's no such thing as a wasted tefillah. It always accomplishes something. Besides everything else, a tefillah generates a bitochen in Hashem. And that, I think, is a critical, critical point. Because when I stand in front of Hashem, you know, the first thing I say is, Hashem sfosai tiftocho fiyagiti losecho. Please open, Hashem, open my lips, I should be able to praise you. That means, without Hashem, I can't even talk to him. I can't even speak to him. So already I'm totally helpless. Helpless, I'm helpless. I can't do anything. What can I do? Hashem svasai tifto. Please, if you don't open my lips, then I can't do anything. So that's the first step. I feel this state of helplessness. And a state of helplessness is the prime state from which a person achieves bitochen. Why? Because when we think we have everything, then we don't rely on Hashem at all. We forget about Hashem. It's only when I'm in need, you know, the famous story that they tell about the guys looking for a parking space in Manhattan, and because the same thing could be in Yerushalayim, I see. And he can't find. He said, 5 minutes, I have the most important meeting. It's the most thing. Everything is told. Everything's on the line of my business. Please, Hashem, help me. Help me. I need y'all. I beg. I'll be your best friend. You know. All of a sudden, he sees a parking space a little bit over there. He says, Never mind, Hashem, I have the situation under control. That's the way we tend to be. When we're desperate, that's when we're the most focused on Hashem. The realization I stand in front of Hashem with the inability to even talk to Him. I don't even have the ability to ask Him what I want, to thank Him, to praise Him, to anything. That itself gives me, poises me for a real connection to Hashem, for a real sense of bitochen. The Rabbi Yoin at the end of the first Perek in Brochus explains the Gemara. The Gemara says there that the reason that we bow down when we say Baruch HaTor and we straighten up straight and we say the Shem Hashem is Al Shem the Posuk Hashem Zoykev Kefufim, because Hashem straightens up the bent people. So you could say, okay, it's bent, and that's a chesed, and Hashem does it, and so that's an example. So we have this graphic example of one of the chasodim that he does, and that's why we do it. All right, we do it four times. First, the beginning of the first bracha, the end of the first bracha, moedim, and the end of moedim. What's really going on here? So the Rabbeinu Yoina says like this. Rabbeinu Yoina says that when you stand in front of Hashem, and you bow down, what you're really doing is stating, I'm afraid. I have fear. I have fear. This is a position of fear. This is a position of confidence. And this is a position of fear. What am I afraid? So I assume the pshat is, Hashem, you are, Baruch Ato, you are the Makor HaBrochas. All the brochas come from you. And I stand here in fear. Maybe I'm unworthy. Maybe I'm not entitled. Maybe I won't be worthy to get them. Oivei, now I'm in trouble. You're the source. You're the only source. Mekor HaBrochos means everything comes from you. There's only one source of brocha in the world. And I even have this relationship with you. I call you, you know, Ato. I speak to you very familiarly. I'm standing right in front of you. I'm the Oymid Lefnei HaMelech. We're supposed to have that kavona. You're standing in front of Hashem. The right address. Everything is right. But I'm afraid. Shem agor machet, maybe I don't deserve it. He says, then Hashem zikif kefufim. We straighten up, and that's a hint, or that's a remez to the inyan of bitochen, and he brings the posuk in Mishlei, biyiras Hashem mivtachoyis. He says, through, in, yira of Hashem, is really where the strength of bitochen lies. Because bitochen doesn't lie when I have nothing to be afraid of. The person who has hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank is not worried about money. The person who has whatever he needs is not worried. The person who has someone walking behind him and he doesn't know that the guy has a gun is not afraid of him. The Baal Bitochen is the guy who found out that the guy behind him has two guns pulled, ready to shoot him in the head, and he still is walking. Hashem, thank you. Baal Bitochen, I trust Hashem. It's only in a state of fear that true Bitochen comes out. So that relationship with Hashem, that trust of Hashem, that relationship which Rabbi Simcha writes in the Meshech Chochma is the mitzvah of a boy sidbuk, to cling in close relationship with Hashem. He says that posuk teaches us that you have that bitochen, because bitochen is that expression, I'm trusting you, I'm counting on you, I'm relying on you. And that comes only from a state of fear. So the Shmoneh Esrei starts and the first brocha and the Moedim, which are the two critical brochas that you have to even have kavona for Pirush Amilas when you say them, they all start with this fear that can lead, Beyiras Hashem Mivtachoyis, that can lead to that Chizuk and Bitochen, because I look at Hashem, the Baal HaRachamim, the Zaykev Kefufim, look what he does. And if you want to take it a step further, everybody in the morning wakes up and Hashem is Zekif Kefufim. Not everybody that woke up and Hashem was Zekif Kefufim necessarily deserved it. But he's mischassed to the world even without deserving. So we get that inspiration, but it comes from a state of fear. So the first bracha starts and ends, Moedim starts and ends, the most critical parts of the Shmoneh Esrei, with the realization of, without Hashem, I have nothing. I'm at the right address, and Molei Pachad, that I don't deserve what I want. And then I stand up straight and I say, I may not deserve, but I put my trust in Hashem. And I'm counting on Him to take care of me. And this is the mood that we have to create when we start davening the Shmoneh Esrei. Now, if it's all about relationship with Hashem, and the most critical ingredient in that relationship in Hashem is is our sense of bitochon, trust in Hashem, then the whole Shemoneh Esrei can really work towards that. And I'd like to touch just a few highlights of how it does that. I have this here. I must have a copy to around. I'm leaving it here. I'll bring more copies so that you'll have for after Pesach. I recommend this is a very good thing to look into if it suits you. I mean, to see if it suits you. And that is, it's the whole Shemoneh Esrei, with an introduction, but the whole Shemoneh Esrei with a simple translation, a more focused meaning, and then a message on each bracha, on each phrase, how it can inspire bitochon. Some people tell me they use this and they find it very helpful, so if it could be helpful, and it can be downloaded from our website and people can make copies if they want of whatever they want. It's, anyway, okay. Let's talk a little bit about the Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu v'Elokei Avraham v'Elokei Yitzchak v'Elokei Yaakov. The Shemoneh Esrei is about developing that reliance and that trust in Hashem. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah used all kinds of mechanisms and tricks to be able to develop that relationship. One of the things that they did is to invoke a picture of the Schus Avos, because especially if I be Yiras Hashem, I may not deserve. Okay, I'm trusting Hashem that He even those that are not deserving, that He does chesed to, but I'd like a little insurance policy. I'd like a little bit more confidence. I'd like to add to the confident feeling or the strong hope that I have to achieve what I want. I'd like to add some points. I'd like to add some strength. I'd like to add some emotional power to it. So the very fact that Hashem is Elokeinu is a very, very profound concept. Elokim, Elokeinu, really, of course, that he's the Shalit and the Shofet. He's the all-powerful, and he's the judge. But there's something very special about our relationship with that all-powerful, almighty, and the one who judges everything and delivers everything accordingly. Elokeinu, he's ours. We have sort of a possessive relationship. We have a very special relationship. He allowed his name to be called upon us. Elokei, Elokim, Shelanu. It's like, wow. Think about it.
Why is he using the name of Hashem?
What's that one?
Would it be more appropriate,
like you say, that the truth of that, Hashem Elokeinu, Adoneinu Elokeinu. What do you say? Maybe, I don't know. But the truth is, the Elokeinu, the Shofet, is really the ultimate chesed that Hashem does. But this is another discussion, but as long as you brought it up. Hashem created Bereishis Bor Elokim, right? Rashi says in the next parsha there that the Yom Asayis Hashem Elokim, that he was hikdim midas horachamim ushot for midas adin. That's what, because he saw the world couldn't have, he knew the world couldn't have a kiyum on mishpat alone. That's true. But why lechatchila was it created with mishpat? And the answer I think is very poshut. Really, mishpat is the greatest chesed. The ultimate hanhoga of Hashem in this world, the ultimate way He created the world, the mashaola b'machshavta, whatever that means, I don't know what those words mean, but was bereishis bor Elokim. Why? Because when in a system where we can earn what we get, there's true ownership, there's no embarrassment, no namad kisufa, there's true appreciation and enjoyment of it, because it's truly mine. So that's the ultimate, I would say, even the Shem Elokeinu, that's the way he conducts the world. In other words, Hashem is the Adon HaKol. That's the simple taish the Mishnah Berurah says when you say the Shem Hashem every time, except in the first pasuk of Shemoneh Esrei, you should just think Adon HaKol, the master of all. That's who he is. But this is how he conducts the world. So maybe that's why, but I'm not sure. It's something to think about. Anyway, but Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu. And I think if we want to have a sense of confidence in Hashem's in His relationship with us and His willingness and readiness to give us, I think it's important to understand what it means. Elokei Aviseinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Now, the Ovos reached a very unique level. The Ovos reached a level where everything they did was only to do the Rotzon Hashem. We say it some people say it in the Ashkenazim say it in the by Akedah. K'moshe kavash Avraham Avinu Esrachum Aviben Yechidoi. Avraham Avinu overpowered his rachamim on his son, and he desired not verotzo lasus ritzoyimcho. That's the other nusach. Verotzo lishchoit oisei. Hashem said shecht. Do you know what my rotzoin is? Shecht. Asei ritzoyinu ki ritzoyinecho. The Ovos reach. See, we as a pshat is like this. If we're lucky. A very sophisticated level of achievement would be, I know what the Rotzon Hashem is, and I want to do the Rotzon Hashem, and therefore, I do all of these things because I want to do the Rotzon Hashem. That's very good, that's great, that's wonderful. The others went above that. The others didn't just want to do this because I want to do the Rotzon Hashem. If the Rotzon Hashem was shecht my son, I want to shecht my son. That's what I want to do. I want a shechma. I have so internalized the Rotzon Hashem that his Rotzon is my Rotzon. I have no personal Ritzonus. There's nothing else in the world that concerns me except for the Rotzon Hashem. Now, I hesitate to talk about this because I don't want anyone to get an idea that, oh, that's going to be my next goal to work on. The first thing I have to work on is to reach the level of Avraham Avinu and to be Rotzon Lishchot, or don't do that. But anyway, I hesitate because of that. But I mention it because when we need to develop confidence that Hashem is going to listen to us, we should know the yichus from which we come. We stem from a trilogy, a three generations of gedolim that, and there are direct ancestors to every one of us, and of gedolim that had such a connection and such a passion and such a commitment to Hashem that they were able to internalize his ritzonos that to the exclusion of any other ritz, they have no ritzonos. My ritzon is only lasus ritzon chobalev of shalim. That's all I want to do. There's nothing else. It's completely pure. You want me to do this? That's what I want to do. And there's nothing else. All the desires of my life are only what you desire. Now, that's very high, and don't shoot for that today. Wait a few days. But lemaisa, if we want to invoke the schus of us, and we want to know who we're dealing with, an Avraham Avinu who wanted to shecht, because Hashem said, a Yitzchak who's being shechted on the Akedah, and all he's concerned about is tie me up so that I shouldn't flinch and pass the Korban. A Yaakov Avinu, who when he's told that he has to take Binyamin to Mitzrayim, and he's afraid that now he lost Yosef, he had so much tzoras with all his children, with his wife, with this, with that, and now who knows what's going to happen with Binyamin? And he says, Kael Shakai Misha Omer Lo'omel Dai Yomer Tzoros I Dai. So the pshat in that is, he was only concerned with one thing. He was concerned there's a balance. Just like in creation, there was a balance between Litein Socha Tov LaTzadikim for punishment L'Rishoyim, and Hashem balanced it, and at the 10 Mamoros, he said, die, and that's the proper balance. He says, Mi Shoma L'Olam Dai, Yom El Tzora said, die, please, I'm afraid that if I get one more Tzora, it's going to affect my relationship with you. It's going to affect my ruchnius. It's going to imbalance my ruchnius. It's going to hurt my avodas Hashem. That's all he was concerned about. He may be on the verge of losing his last son from Rochel. It's the catastrophe of his life. He only has one concern. Misha omel oilam dai, yoyma letzarois I die, because I'm afraid that it's not going to be the proper balance. If we look at these people and we realize what schusim, who they were, we can evoke this schusim. And part of the chesed Hashem is the most amazing thing in the world, that when he zoicher chaste obis, what does he do? He finds new schusim in the schus obis. It's not sure, you know, the shayla of tamus schus obis or not, but there's always like, there's always something, even if the schus is over, but something, it's still, it's your father, it's, I can look favorably, I can't grant it to you, in that schus, I have to grant it to you, berachamim, but I can look favor upon you, because you are my best friend's son, or my best friend's descendant, so, and to us, it should be a powerful inspiration of, we come to tefillah, with this very special connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's another, piece which I think is also very can be very inspiring. We say Hashem is Gibor v'Neiro. Gibor, all powerful, v'Neiro, and revered, awesome, feared. So the Gemara in Yuma says that, you know, originally Moshe Rabbeinu said Godol la'Gibor v'Neiro, then the Nevi'im started dropping it. They said, where's the Neirois? Where's the Gevura? We don't see. There's a Churban, there's this, there's a Golus. The Anshik Nesagdol restored it. And the Gemara says that the Pshat is that Gibor expresses the Pshat that Hashem allows the Goyim to do whatever they want to us. He's given them Rishus, because when we have to be punished, that's what had to happen. That's the Golus. But he's Gibor Koivish Kasoy Alehim, in order to let them have that free hand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, yes, they hurt us. Yes, there are dangers out there. Yes, the world has been piled against us for 2,000 years. Yes, the Golus is long and bitter and bloody. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands there with Gvura, biting his lip, so to speak, not to interfere with what they are allowed to do to cause the Klal Yisrael to suffer the suffering of the Golus, the lessons that they're supposed to learn. But he's also Neiro. Hein Neiro Oisof. What's the Neiro? The awesomeness is that this has been going on for 2,000 years and we're still alive to tell the story. All of our oppressors are in the museums, the history books, forgotten, long forgotten. And here we are. That's the greatest Neiro Oisof Hashem. Mitzad Echod, he gives them reshus to do all kinds of things to us. Mitzad Sheni, here we are, that they do what they've done, and we're here, and where are you guys? No place. Gone, forgotten. You know, faded away, like Mark Twain said. You know, nothing left of you. That's such a sense of, yes, Golus is difficult. Yes, we have difficulty. And yes, Hashem allows the difficulty to happen. And it's very difficult for him to allow those difficulties. He sort of bites his tongue. He's kivish eskasei aleihem just to allow it to happen because it has to happen. But mitzad sheni, the neirois of the whole thing is, hey, nay, neirois of that they do whatever they want. And here we are, we survive. That's so true. It's true in modern history. It's true in ancient history. It's true in medieval history. It's like, this is Klal Yisrael. And I think, I must have mentioned this here before, but I don't know, but this, I think, is a beautiful, beautiful imagery that we find in these Zmiras on Shabbos, in Kori Ben Olam. Proik yas onoch mipum arivoso. Redeem your lamb from the lion's mouth. Klal Yisrael is like a lamb in a lion's mouth for 2,000 years. Imagine sitting in a lamb, sitting in a lion's mouth for 2,000 years. He scratches, he bites, he bleeds. But the lamb is still there, well and alive, even though he's done so much. He can't destroy the Klal Yisrael. We're like a lamb in a lion's mouth. That's so true. The United Nations in our generation, the world today, wherever you go, what goes on in Eretz Yisrael, wherever we are, France and who knows? I mean, it's all over. But it's not Cheney. All of these guys for the last 2,000 years that have been trying to do, they're gone, forgotten. Find them in the history books. And here we are to tell the story. That has to give us a sense of confidence in Hashem. That has to inspire us to put our trust in Hashem. That has to inspire us to know that even though He oftentimes will allow people to cause us difficulty, but He's there with us. And then I'd like to just take another phrase. Goymel chasodim tovim, v'kone hakoil, v'zecher chaste yovois. He bestows good chasodim. He is the creator, the owner and the creator of everything. And he remembers the chasodim of the ovos. Here again, the goal is to inspire ourselves to put our trust in Hashem. I neglected to mention before, the Goyin says that the sherish of the word tefillah is from the posuk ra'oi ponecha lo'i pilolti. But Yaakov said to Yosef that I never thought I'd see you again. And Rashi says, lo'ani libi lachshev. My heart was never full with that positive thought that I'd ever see you again. And that's what tefillah is. It's like an optimistic thought. And we want to inspire that sense of optimistic thinking that Hashem helps, Hashem will help, Hashem does help, it's going to be good, He's going to answer our tefillahs, we're counting on Him, we're relying on Him, we're hoping to Him, that's what we want to accomplish. So, He's Gemel Chasodim Tevim, the Kuni Akel, the Zorich Chasdi Ois. What's Chasodim Tevim? Does anybody know that there's such a thing as Chasodim Roim? What? Bad Chasodim? Somebody does Chesed for you and it's bad? Oh yes. Do you ever have a chesed done by someone who will never let you forget it? That's bad. Sometimes a chesed is done to one person on the cheshbon of somebody else. You know? Yeah. I want to... you need a lot of money? I'm going to steal money from him and then I'll give it to you. You know? Robin Hood. You know? That's not a chesed to you. It's a chesed, but it hurts somebody else. Chasodim toivim is all good, no bad, nothing negative. Good, even though it has a different impact on somebody else, and this is going to affect someone else, and there's indirect effects. Now, all of it will be good. All the ramifications, it can affect 1,000 different people. What happens here? Everything will be good. Not only Hashem can orchestrate, but if that's what Hashem does, imagine that. Imagine, let's say, he gives somebody, this guy, I mean, the old example that I've always given, I changed it just a little bit just because I get tired of the old one, but this guy helps this little old lady up to her apartment with her packages every week, and all of a sudden he wins the lottery, and now he's moving out of that little old apartment over there, moving into this big beautiful villa. That's very wonderful, but this poor little old lady now is going to have to schlep all the packages herself up to the third floor. So why should she have to suffer just because Hashem's giving him chesed? That's not chasodim tovim. Chasodim tovim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates that when I'm doing it chesed to you, there's not going to be any negative impact on anybody else. So the extent of Hashem's, the complexity of Hashem's chesed, and that in itself is mind-boggling, and it certainly gives us a motivation to connect with Him. That's what He does for me. Look how many things He has to change and line up and turn around and orchestrate all for me. Wow. What's the Kuni HaKoil? Kuni HaKoil means He creates everything. So all of a sudden, He's doing Chasodim Tovim. Now in the middle we say, oh, He creates everything and He owns everything. What does one thing have to do with the other? All of a sudden, now you went, okay, you want to stop Bereishis Bara Elokim, Hashem's the creator, fine. In the middle of Shema Esri, in the middle of Goma Chasodim Tovim, V'zecher Chasdei Ovos. I think the pshat is like this. You know what Hashem does sometimes to do Chasodim Tovim? He recreates the situations. It's almost like a Bria Se'olam. He has to make this happen, change this, fix this, do this. It's like a whole new creation can happen. All because I have to do chesed to one person, and it has to be chasodim tovim, it can't have any negative effect. So look what's going on up there. He is goyim chasodim tovim, and he's kenei hakoil. He is creating everything, recreating circumstances, all to orchestrate, they should be able to give me chasodim tovim. And then, if that wasn't enough, v'zeicher chasdei avos. If after all that, I still didn't deserve or earn, or it wasn't possible to award me the way I would like, and he goes and borrows from the chasdei avos. He squeezes another little bit more schus out of them. And Mimela is Zoicher Chasdei Avos. And eventually he'll be maybe Goyal, maybe Nei, and so forth. But I say, if we think of it in these terms, if we stop to think, now if you think of this too long, it could take you forever to finish davening, so gotta try to condense it a little bit. But just this idea of what Hashem does just to be able to be Goyal Chesed. Oh, it has to be good. All the ramifications are going to be good. Everything has to be machinated all to make it good. And the Kohen HaKoil, sometimes they're going to have to change circumstances and change things and put this on a different wavelength and put this in a different place and move this here and move that there and recreate and create a whole new circumstance. Everything. I got to do that. That's what I do, just to be good. And then if all that isn't enough, I borrow from the schus avos. I squeeze it out a little bit of schus avos out of the avos. Avos don't really necessarily have to mean Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Maybe could mean all the ancestors, but all this just to be able to grant us our tefillas. I think it's very, very powerful. The Goyin says in Avnei Eliyahu that when we say Melech Oizer Moshiach Umogen, we're saying four things, three things. He's the Melech who's Oizer, Mishia, Umogen. He helps, means to the, that refers, he says, to Bali Bitochen, who put an effort to do Ishtadlus. Mishia, saving, refers to Bali Bitochen, don't put any effort, just he gets saved. Mogen, refers to Bali Bitochen, who put themselves in Sakona to do mitzvahs, to do what's right, whatever. And they do the opposite. And Hashem is Mogen, a shield. So as we finish this first brocha, we focus in such depth and detail on HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the source of our bitochon. He's the Oizer. If we are on that level of Ishtadlus, he's going to help us. If we are on the level of no Ishtadlus, he's going to be Mashiach, save us. And if we're on such a level that we're ready to be Mesa Nefesh and to do just the opposite, he's the Mogen. You finish a brocha like that, you pay attention. And after the whole shul emptied out and everybody went home and they're ready to come back for mincha, you know, and you're still saying Mogen Avraham, but it can't help but to inspire me to a greater connection with Hashem and have more bitochen in Hashem, because look what he does. Look at the extent of Hashem's chesed just to be able to do good, to do good for me. And the mail of that inspires such a sense of bitochen, because trust really is a factor of two things. It's a factor of the ability of the one I trust to perform and the desire of the one I trust to perform. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows both. And when we see those both ingredients in exhibited, it just elevates us, and we want, and we connect, and we feel confident, and that becomes maybe the greatest schus through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu can justify granting us everything that we want. Let's move for a moment to the brocha of Atochini. Atochini is very interesting because we only use the word Atochini lom das umalami lishbino choneinu miitcho deo bina mahaskel borcha to Hashem choinein hadoas. We all about chanina. You know what chanina is? Chanina is from the sherish of chinom. It's free. Free meaning we didn't earn it. Hashem gives matnois chinom. We didn't earn it. And yet he's the choinein l'odom das. He's the melamed l'nushbino. And even what he is melamed, choneinu me'itcho deyo bino v'aske, we beg him to give us chanino. Even after he is melamed, Hashem himself gives us the idea, we still need his chanina to maintain it, to have it, to use it, to appreciate it, to make a kinyan on it. We need that special gift from Hashem. But if we think about it, that it seems that when it comes to Torah, we can't be zeiche. To be zeiche to appreciation, to understanding, to learning, to insight to the Torah is something that's a schus beyond anything we can deserve. That sounds so bizarre to us because we don't realize what it is. Do you know what a schus it is to have a snapshot, a window of insight into the Das Kel Elyon? The Das Kel Elyon. The Creator Himself, His thinking, His understanding, His insight, the way He runs His world. Anyway, so to have that, just that, it's chanino. There's nothing we could do to ever deserve it. We make the bracha d'chasim bracha d'Hashem choinen hados. It's chanino. It's a matnas chinom. It's something we can deserve many things. We can earn many things. We can reach many high levels. But this is something now. So now let's look at it from two perspectives. Number one, look what das is. Look what seichel is. Deo. Usually the Mefarshim say deo is knowledge. Bina is the insight to be able to infer from that knowledge. And haskel is the judgment that it could be masik shmeitz alibi the hilchasa to be able to look at all the aspects and to be able to judge properly. But whatever, different Mefarshim say different things. But it's all chanino. Choneinu meit chodeo bina haskel. What do you mean? First of all, I'm smart. So why does it have to be such a chaneinu? By the way, I say that's the reason that it's the only bracha, the first bracha, where there's a hakdoma of atochin in lodem da'as umalabi lenushbino. All the other brachas say directly, re'evo enyenu, rifo enu, borecho leinu, tekabe shayfer godol, hashive, whatever it is. But these are the only one we say, atochin in lodem da'as umalabi lenushbino. We praise you first for what you do, and then we ask. And I think the reason is very poshut. Because there's a toast in the world. People say like this, I was born stupid, forget it, no hope for me. I was born smart, I don't need any help. Hashem is chinin lodem das, umalame lenushbino, and we need choneinu meyit chodeyo bino mahaskel, because otherwise you could have all the kishrin in the world, you won't know anything. And you could be the stupidest one in the world, and you will know. It's all a gift from Hashem. But that's besides the point. But there's two messages over here. Number one is the Chashivos HaTorah. Do you know what it means? You know, the privilege of Achanino Deo Bina Bahaska. That means, if Deo means knowledge, the information, that's a gift from Hashem. You can't be kind of that without that gift. It's a special Siyata Dishmaya that Hashem helps us to, otherwise, I don't understand it. Try explaining to a goy the Torah concepts that you're learning. Try it. Try explaining it to a person who hasn't even learned a little bit, doesn't even have any background. Intelligent people. What you talk about is too abstract. It's too this. It's what? It's that. What's going on over here? You know, it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Deo, Bino, the ability to be maven dover, mitoch dover, and haskel, and the seichel and judgment. Oy, judgment is such a gift. There's so many people that have deo and even Bino, And say, Homelish can seichel. They don't have seichel. Push it to seichel, they don't have. Abyssal seichel, you know, seichel. I don't even know how to translate seichel.
Street smart?
What? Street. No, not only street smart. I don't know. Figure it out yourself. But that's seichel, and it's. And listen, and like Hebrew words have translations, Yiddish words have no translation. Seichel! That's what it is. But I hope seichel, you know? It's something you can't learn in a book. It's something that you can.
Seichel is the type of thing you could learn?
Not really.
It's just like natural.
You can learn situations that seichel would dictate what to do, and you can memorize the protocol. In other words, but then you get messed up with this one little shidui. When this happens, you do this. When this happens, you do this. Oh, now I sound like I have a lot of seichel. And what are you going to do with mix and choose when this happens with this? Oh, they never told me that one.
Could a person become attuned to issues, let's say, other people's feelings, or attuned to something, they're just walking and they're not paying attention and institutionally in their mind?
But it's not really seichel. It's seichel, you know. Anyway, but lemaisa, it's a gift from Hashem. Now, so but so this maybe contradicts a little bit what I said, because I said that the reason we say after chinein first, we don't mention seichel. We're not born with it. Whether we're born with it or not, you give das. And then we ask chinein a bit. They'll be no ask. Oh, give us the seichel to open. I don't know. Anyway, let's get our shuk. Okay, but kids are like this. So that's one thing is the chashivus hatoira, that we need chanino to understand even the beginnings, the most rudiment to understand it. Dvar Hashem, think about it. It's absurd. A human being should understand it, Dvar Hashem. But then there's something else too. In terms of bitochen, if you think in this bracha, look what Hashem has given us. Yes, he's zonah mefarnes. He gives the whole world parnosa. Yes, he gives health, and yes, he gives money, and yes, he gives this, and yes. But look what he's given to Klal Yisrael. Yeah. Deo bino v'haskel. He's given us a Torah with the ability to understand, and that's a chanino beyond what we deserve. If Hashem gives such matonas, I could see good reason to rely on him. If that's what he does, then that's something that can inspire me to further rely on him. Let me just maybe one more. It's late. One more example. No, just one more thing. Maybe two. Let's move quickly to the bracha of Al Tzadikim. Al Tzadikim, Al Chassidim, Al Zikli, Amcha Beis Yisrael, all the good people. Pleita Sofreim, Geir Ad Tzedek. We ask Hashem, Yehemu Rachamecho Hashem Elokeinu. Should evoke your Rachamim. Now, it seems that we ask Hashem to evoke Rachamim on us. And what are we doing in the under the influence of that rachamim? Well, the bracha continues. The saint socher tovel chol abitchi b'shimcha be'emes, the simchel keinu imoyim le'olam, v'lo inevosh kivacho b'tochnu. Sounds like that rachamim is the response to bitochnu. That you evoke your rachmonas, and now with that rachmonas, saint socher tovel chol abitchi b'shimcha be'emes. Otherwise, there's no hemshich. What does that mean? These people are trusting you. Such a rachmonis, a person puts his trust in Hashem. To be disappointed. To be disappointed. To be embarrassed. You know, David HaMelech said, Alakai b'cho b'tachti alei b'isho. I trusted in you, Hashem. I shouldn't be embarrassed. I trusted Hashem, and he let me down. Oy, my friend lets me down. Oh, that's to be expected. A human being is a human being. Hashem let me down. So we say, Hashem, he says, Yehemu rachamecha, evoke your rachamim, and saint socher toiv l'chol abitcha b'shimcha be'emes, to those who truly have bitochen in you, please have rachmonis on them, and give them the socher toiv, give them the benefit of their, that which they're relying on. V'simchel keinu imoem lo'ilam, what's that? V'leinevash kibacho b'tochnu. Put our chelek with them, and we shouldn't be embarrassed. I think that the pshat is like this. I admit it's original. That the pshat is like this. We're not the boitchem b'shimcha be'emes. Most of us are not that. But v'sim chelkeinu imohem. Put our chelek together with them. V'loinevosh kibacho b'tochnu. And even we, who don't have that true bitochen, that b'shimcha boitchem b'shimcha be'emes, but have rachmonis on us too. We shouldn't be embarrassed because of our bitochen. For them, they really earn it. They should have rachamim. That's poshut. That you have to give a saying. Socher toiv l'chol abitchem b'shimcha be'emes. Your rachamim should have rachmonis on them. But the simchel keinu imoyim. We ask to on their coattails. We ask to be included too. And le'nevosh kibacho b'tochnu. We ask Hashem, let us not be embarrassed because we trust in Hashem. And that's, I think, a very important thing to say.
A lower level.
We're not to say, v'simchal keinu imoyim v'lo nevosh kibacho means that we're not on that level. We have something. Listen, everybody who turns to Hashem in tefillah is expressing a certain level of bitochen. Because if you didn't trust Hashem, why are you wasting your time?
So
then it becomes like a habit.
Well, habits. People sleep through their habits. Well, maybe that's why. But anyway, Lamaisa, it's a statement of a certain level of trust. So that's, you know, anyway. But so we're asking Hashem that please let us not be embarrassed. We too have put our trust in Hashem. And the focus on the fact that we ask Hashem for rachamim, look at us. And it's so true. When you're waiting and waiting and waiting, it's disappointment. It's such a disappointment to a human being. It's such a disappointment to a Tzelem Elokim. I'm such a chosh of a person, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting and not getting a response. In that schus alone, we ask Hashem, please, have rachmonis. And sometimes that feeling can inspire a great rachmonis, because I know I'm waiting for Hashem, and I'm just waiting for the rachamim. I'm not giving up, because I know Hashem is moli rachamim, and I know He's going to respond them. The same thing I would just say, and then I think it's time to conclude, is kilishuos chukivino kol ayoyim. We say that as sevach dovid abdecho heirat hatzmiach v'karnu torim, the glory or the arising of the Mashiach, whatever should come in our days, and so why? We don't say Kilishuos Chokivino Kol Yoim. It's not that we hoped for the Yeshua every day, but it's Kol Hayoim. Now, I've seen in Meforshim, and I assumed so myself, that the Kol Hayoim Lishuos Chokivino does not mean we're waiting for Mashiach all day long. That may be the pastime of some, but most of us have a lot of other things on our mind as well. So we're not necessarily just waiting all day long for Mashiach, but we're waiting for the Yeshua all day long. In everything we need Yeshua Hashem. In everything we do, we need Yeshua Hashem. It has to permeate every aspect of our existence. Every time I want to move my finger, I need the Yeshua Hashem. Every time I want to get something, eat something, find something, do something, accomplish something, catch something, miss something, do. If a person is in that matzav, when Yeshuos Chokivino Kol Hayoyim, then that is mamish, a schus that has such power, it can even bring the Mashiach. It's like the most powerful thing. Okay, a happy tochen 10 times a day. That's very nice. Shkoyach, that's beautiful. It's better than the guy who only has 7 times a day. And better than the guy who only has 3 times a day. And better than the guy who has 1 time a week. But it's Yeshuos Chokivino Kol, everything that I think about. You know, the Gemara says Halavai she is palal. No, not the Gemara. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Anyway, Halavai she is palal odom kol ayoyim. Halavai a person all day long. Our great grandmothers used to do that. They'd make you filter fish. Please, the fish is la rois kumen good. They're making a soup. Oh, the soup could this. Maybe when they clean the house, who knows? the dirt should get away quick, so we should be able to have a clean. Everything was the Shem Hashem was shogur befiem. That's an ultimate statement of a connection to Hashem, of a relationship with Hashem, of a realization that Hashem is involved in every aspect of my existence, and of using every aspect of my existence to further connect with Hashem. That can be inspired through tefillah, and that can actually go beyond and permeate our entire existence. And with that schus, when we have the schus of Yeshuos Chokivino Kol Hayoyim, there's no limit to what we can accomplish for ourselves, and for our families, and for our communities, and it seems even for the future of Klal Yisrael at large.